Richard's going to come up and teach us, and let me just quickly pray for us as we hear this word. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the words that Deb's just read to us, and we pray that you'd help us to listen carefully as Richard teaches us. Father, we thank you for the time that he spent in preparation, and we just pray that you'd help us and him now for Richard to communicate well and for us to listen well. And above all, that you might be honored in the things that we do together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, so do keep your Bibles open. If you got them at Matthew 28, teenagers staying in this week. Teenagers probably know that, so that's good. And we will have a discussion time at the end as well, so I'll tell us what we're doing when we reach there. But so we are now a little over halfway through this topical series we've been doing, sort of growing together in Jesus, the church we want to be. And in a sense, this week we're moving from the foundations to kind of the practice, to kind of like the visible signs that we are growing in Jesus and in love and in prayer. And we've chosen just three of those signs. Basically, it's mission, service, and hospitality. So this morning, as you've heard, we're looking at growing in mission. And sort of following on from last week's focus, which was growing in prayer, you might be forgiven for thinking we could have retitled this series Growing in Guilt. Because actually, prayer and mission, there are fewer things that make Christians feel more guilty and inadequate than those topics. There are two areas of the Christian life I think we all struggle in. And yet this morning, we want to explore the place of mission in our life together. We basically want to be exploring growing in mission to grow in our commitment to make disciples for Jesus wherever we are. That's sort of where we're headed this morning. But again, we struggle with mission, and it's worth asking sort of why we do that if we're Christians here today. And I think we kind of struggle for one of two reasons. Sort of either we just lack, if you like, the courage or maybe the skill we feel to share the gospel, to speak for Jesus with other people. So it's kind of we just lack that courage we feel. Or we actually do speak for Jesus, we tell people about him, and no one responds, no one is interested. And either way, we sort of end up just feeling racked with guilt, we feel unsure of ourselves, and nobody enjoys feeling guilty, so we just put mission on the back burner. We say, just let's avoid that whole topic. I'll do other things for God and hope he'll just kind of turn a blind eye to this. Well, this morning, we are looking at this bit of the end of Matthew's gospel, very familiar words to many of us, so often called the Great Commission. And again, even these words of Jesus often sort of polarize Christians. For some people, they find them deeply inspiring and exciting. Again, countless overseas missionaries point to these words of Jesus as the encouragement to them to go and leave their home culture for the sake of telling people about him. But then other Christians look at these verses, these words of Jesus, and again, that feeling of guilt and panic rush over them. So he's saying that I need to make disciples, Jesus, because I just cannot do that. But this morning, I want us to look at these words of Jesus as I think Jesus intended them, which are words of great encouragement and strength for Christians to hold on to in sort of our stumbling efforts to make disciples for Jesus wherever he has placed us. Because these verses remind us, actually, when Jesus tells us to join him in mission, he is with us, and he has all the strength we need to use us for his purposes. So sort of put simply, we're going to hopefully see three truths from these verses, that we are on mission with Jesus, we are on mission with each other, and we're on mission wherever God has placed us. So let's look at these verses together. First of all, we're on mission with Jesus. Again, I'm discovering something. So the more I'm in sort of church leadership, there's a question you always get asked by people early on when you say you're in church leadership. They say, well, what's your mission statement? So what's your vision for your church? And as elders at Avenue, we actually spent a lot of time earlier on this year grappling with those questions. And in a sense, this series has come out of that, trying to clarify where we feel the Lord is leading us. But But actually, we could spend weeks and months trying to come up with sort of a tight, biblically rich, inspiring mission statement, when the whole time, actually, Jesus has given us the only mission statement we will ever need. And that's Matthew 28, verses 18 to 10. Let me read that for us again. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And actually, we don't need another mission statement than these words of Jesus, because everything he calls us to do in the area of mission is here. So first of all, we have to ask the question, well, who is speaking here and why do we bother listening to them? Well, the answer is it's the risen Jesus speaking. If you look earlier on in Matthew 28, it's the account of Jesus rising from the dead. And we listen to him, Matthew says, because Jesus is the ruler of heaven and earth. And so our authority in this world comes from him. That's how Jesus begins. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And I want to see, those are really comforting words for the first disciples to hear. If you look back, if you've got your Bibles open to verse 17, let me read that for us, just before Jesus' words. "When the disciples saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Now again, these 11 disciples, they have just witnessed the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the event that changes everything in history. So understandably, Matthew says they worshipped him, but he also says some doubted. And you might think, well, does that mean, did they just not quite believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? Are their doubts this is actually happening? Well, that does seem unlikely, because Jesus is standing in front of them, speaking to them. And I want to suggest the doubt these disciples feel is about themselves and about their ability to remain faithful to this risen Jesus. Because again, if you just flick back a page in Matthew, you'll see that every one of these disciples abandoned Jesus and ran away from him when he was arrested. Every one of them. Peter even denied knowing him. And again, these disciples are sitting here going, well, that's our track record, and it's rubbish. Who's to say the future is going to be any different for us? But that is why Jesus wants them to hear him describe who he is and the authority he gives them. He is the Son of God, Jesus says. He's the risen one, the one who died on a cross, but who rose again and is now standing in front of them, telling them to follow him into the world. So our authority as Christians to speak for Jesus in this world comes from the risen Jesus. It doesn't come from us. It's not that Christians think we're somehow better than other people, or we get a kick out of offending people. Actually, our authority to speak for Jesus in this world comes from Jesus himself. And he wants us to make disciples. That is the main thrust of what Jesus says here. Go and make disciples. Again, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. But Jesus adds something here that is absolutely vital, because a disciple is also someone who makes other disciples for Jesus as they follow him. See, we need to hold both of those together. See, at Avenue, when we say we want to grow in mission, we want to say we want to grow as disciples who make disciples. That's the core of what we mean when we talk about mission. And in a sense, Rachel's really helped us in this already, but some of these Christians so emphasize the go that it feels like this must be a call to go overseas. That actually only Christians who leave their home culture are really obeying Jesus here. Now we're going to see in a minute, actually concern for the nations is absolutely vital in what Jesus says here. But actually the thrust here is to make disciples. The Greek there could equally be translated, as you go, make disciples. Wherever you go, make disciples. Whether that's in the workplace, in the home, at the school gate, on the sports field. As you go, make disciples, Jesus says. And in telling us that's the heart of what he wants from us, he tells actually that something about mission we need to remember, that mission is all about Jesus and it's all about people. Mission is all about Jesus and about people. It is Jesus we want people to meet. We are not the solution to the problem of living in a fallen world. Avenue is not the solution. Jesus is the solution, and it is disciples of Jesus we want to make. But actually, disciples, very simply, are people. They're not projects. They're not just things to be strategic about. They are people, whole people, made in the image of God, possessing great dignity and loved and valued by Jesus. So if we hear make disciples as I've got a project here, then we're missing the point, because disciples are people. I remember getting this really badly wrong as a student. I was a Christian when I was at university. And there was one friend of mine particularly, a guy called Andy, I got on really well with. He was from Northern Ireland too, so we understood each other. But also we kind of just, we clicked, really enjoyed hanging out. And he wasn't a Christian. And I guess I kind of heard, make this, I was like, I want to make this guy a believer of Jesus. But actually over time, he really picked up that I wasn't really wanting to get to know him. I was viewing him as a project. So I would turn up at his door when an event the Christian Union was running was about to happen. And nearly always he'd got the flyer already, so he was kind of waiting for me to turn up, because I wasn't turning up at his door at other times. I was treating this guy just as a project, and he wasn't an idiot. And he just quickly lost interest in what I had to say, because I wasn't having concern for him to actually love him and get to know him. Because actually, disciples are whole people. So emotional, physical, spiritual. And we need to get to know people and learn from Jesus what it means to love them, rather than treat them as sort of boxes we tick in our Christian life. Jesus is the one who loved us so much, he went to a cross for us, and he wants to teach us what that love looks like for all our relationships as we live for him in this world. But again, back to Matthew 28, he does go on to say, make disciples of all nations. So again, that's Jesus' authority extends over the whole earth. So actually, growing in mission for us at Avenue must involve growing the concern that Jesus be known across this world, not just in this part of Leicester. I think we've got a way to go on this at Avenue, but this is the reason why we are actually committed to growing in this. This is why we've got Lisa Callow at All Nations Bible College training, she hopes, for a lifetime of making disciples in whatever part of the world Jesus calls her to. This is why we support the work of Globe Cafe on a Monday night, because amazingly, all nations come to Leicester. There are huge numbers of international students in Leicester. We get the privilege of welcoming them, showing hospitality to them, loving them. See, we need to realize the global scope of what Jesus is saying. Wherever you go, make disciples. But be committed to a wider picture than just where we are. And then Jesus says what we're to do in making disciples. It is baptizing them and teaching them. Verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Basically, baptism, that is the beginning of the Christian life. When someone puts their faith in Jesus, begins to follow him for the first time. And it is a joy when people get baptized at Avenue. It's that outward sign that Jesus has rescued me. And again, we heard already, Matt Wilmot getting baptized in a week's time. So I make him feel very nervous as I talk about him now. But yeah, it would be great for a huge number of us from Avenue to get along next Sunday night. That is a time to celebrate what Jesus has done in Matt's life. But we need to pray that we'd see more baptisms at Avenue. Actually, people coming to go, yes, Jesus has rescued me and I belong to him. But then also there's that teaching them. And that's the ongoing sign of discipleship. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Again, we don't just arrive as fully fledged disciples the minute we get baptized or the minute we pray a prayer to ask Jesus to forgive us. It is ongoing. There is learning to be done. As Jesus put it in the bit of John's gospel we looked at last week in John 15, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. We need to know who Jesus is, what he says, and to grow and mature in that. Because that is what discipleship is about. So baptism, the beginning of Christian life, people coming to faith in Jesus, teaching, the ongoing aspect of the Christian life. Both those remind us, actually, that the Christian life is all about change. Following Jesus is all about change. We change when we first put our trust in him, and we pray that we would continue to change as we understand what he commands us, as we understand the life he enables us to live, the life he has called us to live. We will change, and we should expect to change as we follow him. But then we reach the end of Jesus' words here. And actually, I want to say that Jesus has kept the most precious words for last. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that is a truth we need to grasp as a church if we are going to grow in mission. Mission is not something we do for Jesus on our own. It is something that Jesus does through us. He is with us, and he wants to use us, even our feeble efforts, to make disciples for himself. Mission's not about us working. It's about Jesus working through us. And that is so important to grasp. And the American pastor and church planter Mark Driscoll sort of tells a story about him growing up. And his dad worked on construction sites a lot of the time. And occasionally, when Mark was about 5 or 6, apparently, his dad would take him onto the building sites with him. And Mark said he was very, very excited about this. He had his own sort of toy hard hat and toy tool belt. And he would just arrive in the building site with his dad to work alongside his dad on the building site. And he remembers just watching his dad at work, sort of knocking down walls with sledgehammers, clearing huge bits of rubble, putting in the back of a truck, beginning to construct things. And, you know, little Mark would sit and, yeah, he'd be very, very, very keen and very excited. And they'd have their lunch together, packed lunch on the building site. And they're just sitting there eating their sandwiches. And he apparently would turn to his dad and go, "Dad, just look at all the work we've been doing. You're so lucky I'm here. You're lucky I'm with you today." And again, he says he looks back on that with a fair bit of embarrassment, actually, because he knows now that having a 5-year-old on a building site, you might think health and safety for one thing, but also it's a lot more of a hindrance than a help, isn't it? Again, the dad would have done so much more without this 5-year-old and his hard hat and tool belt. But actually, his dad wanted him there alongside him as he was working. And actually, in mission, it is the same for us. Our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, this Trinity that we're baptized into, he wants us with him as he does his work. And he even gives us the privilege of working through us and our feeble efforts, our toy hard hat and toy tool belt, to make disciples for himself. See, we really are on mission with Jesus. He is with us. And again, we take that closing promise out of context sometimes. It's a lovely one. It kind of makes you feel warm and gooey. "I'm surely I'm with you always." But again, Jesus is applying this to mission. This wonderful promise applies to us as we're committed to speaking for him and living for him in this world. So we're on mission with Jesus. And the other two headings sort of flow out of that. So we're on mission with each other. We're on mission together. Again, it's no accident that Jesus is speaking here to a group of his disciples, to 11 disciples. The yous here are plural that Jesus uses. So we're on mission with each other as a church family. And it's worth asking the question, so what does that look like in practice? Because actually what it doesn't mean is that we're always physically present with each other. It doesn't mean that actually we can't speak for Jesus when we're geographically apart from each other. Because again, actually in reality, throughout the week, a lot of the time, we are maybe on our own in workplaces, in our homes. So it's hard to be physically present all the time. But actually we need to grow in our commitment to each other when we're together and when we're apart. The Croatian theologian Miroslav Volf puts it like this. He says, we need to build and strengthen mature communities of vision and character who celebrate the gospel as a way of life as they gather before God for worship and who, sent by God, live it out as they scatter to pursue various tasks in the world. We are not always together as a church family. I hope we sort of realize that. Even I work for the church. I'm not always with all of you. Again, there are times when we're together, like Sunday mornings, like home groups, like just in each other's homes. But there are times when we're apart, like maybe this time tomorrow morning. Maybe most of us will be separated from each other. But actually, our commitment needs to be to grow in the gospel together so we're equipped to live out the gospel when we are scattered and apart. So again, it's great if we live close to each other. And actually, most of us do at Avenue, which is fantastic. But more important than geography is that commitment to equip each other, to see one another grow in our love for Jesus. So actually, then we can be used by him to make disciples. And again, that just basically means that we pray for each other. And it means that we speak God's word to each other. In a sense, it's as simple as that. Prayer and speaking God's word. And as we do that, God's Holy Spirit grows us and matures us and equips us. That's what it means to be on mission with each other. Sometimes we're together. Sometimes we're apart. But we're seeking to grow in the gospel. And then finally, we're on mission wherever God has placed us. That links in with what I've just said. But Acts 17, Paul, speaking to the crowd in Athens, he says this about the God of the Bible, the living God. He has determined the time set for us and the exact places where we should live. And actually, that is a liberating truth for us, that God has placed you where he wants you to be right now, and he can use you where you are right now to make disciples for him. Whether that's your place of work, whether that's where you live, or whether it's your season in life at the minute. Whether you're single or married, whether you have children or you don't have children, whether you're in work or you're out of work, God can use you. And he will use you if you ask him to. Again, don't misunderstand me. This verse doesn't say we're not allowed to change our circumstances. Often it's very right to be looking to do that if we can, when that's right. But what this does mean is that God lets nothing go to waste in our lives. I think we need to hear that. It's that God lets nothing go to waste in our lives. You might think, well, God couldn't use me right now. Things aren't right. Just things are too difficult. Actually, God is able to use us, even in our suffering. Because we're talking about a suffering Savior. A Savior who went to a cross. God is able to use us where he has placed us. Again, that promise, I am with you always, Jesus says. Whatever season in life, wherever place we are. I think we need to know that because mission is hard. We're kind of back to where we began. It's something that Christians feel guilty about. It's something that people who don't yet know Jesus go, whoa, what are you doing there? Don't tell me about that. Actually, we live in a post-Christian culture, many people say. And so we actually need to be in this for the long haul. Some writers I know just talk about mission being, it's long-term, it's low-key, and it's relational. And we need to be prepared for that. Again, some recent research suggests that the average length of time it takes someone in the UK to come to faith, from first encounter with a Christian to trusting Jesus, average length of time is about 10 years, apparently. Again, that's an average. Some people take longer, some shorter. Some people, sadly, will never trust Jesus. But we need to be in this for the long haul. We so quickly grow impatient. My friend Andy, I just thought, I'll turn up his door a couple of times. He'll follow Jesus. I thought, oh, he's not interested. I'll go away. Actually, this is a long-term commitment to people. And again, we've got to remember, if we're not committed to that long haul, then we're just missing out on what Jesus has done for us. He didn't give up on us. And the people maybe who had a part to play in you becoming a Christian, if you're one today, didn't give up on you, didn't give up praying or speaking to you. So neither should we. Again, a bit earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says this to his disciples, Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And this bit of Matthew reminds us, Jesus builds his church through the ordinary lives of his people. And we stumble, and we struggle, and we get it wrong. And we sometimes wish, surely, Jesus, there is a better way than using us. But Jesus wants to use us. He has always used ordinary Christians for this work. And we can thank Jesus for that privilege, actually. And thank Jesus that other people have been committed to us so we can grow in our commitment to others. So as I said at the beginning, we're going to just have a few minutes of time just to discuss something of that. It'd be great if you could just, like, in your chairs, turn around to groups, so say 4 to 8, something probably no smaller than 4, say going for about 4 to 8 people in each group. And just a couple of questions there. Mission is all about Jesus, and mission is all about people. So again, looking over the bit we've looked at in Matthew, what stands out for you about mission from Jesus' words? And then that people thing, just again, if you're a Christian, just thinking of the person or people who had the biggest impact on you following Jesus, what was it about them that helped you, and what could you learn from that? And again, if you're not a Christian here this morning, just sort of listen in. Hopefully there'll be a Christian in the group who can share a bit about that. And what we're going to do, I'm going to give out some post-it notes, and basically for the mission's all about Jesus, if there are things that stand out from your discussion, just scribble them on the yellow post-it note I give you. And the mission about people, about the characteristics of people who've helped you follow Jesus, scribble on the pink there about maybe characteristics. I'll gather them in at the end, and you'll maybe put those into the questions we discuss at the family meeting on Tuesday. But does that make sense? So kind of those two headings, mission's all about Jesus, mission's all about people. Take a minute, just get into groups of 4 to 8, something like that, round in circles. I'll give out post-its, and we'll do that for about 10 minutes or so, okay? And then we'll come back together to do a few last things.